Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we are live in Milwaukee at the Roman Coin, baby!
Woo!
And we are here in honor of the Republican debate. Is that why we're here, Dom?
No, we're here because it's the Roman Coin and it's about, yes, Republicans are in town today. They're going to have a debate without their, you know, cheetah messiah. But we're here to celebrate either way, man. It's a political party. That's what we do.
And it's quite warm in Milwaukee. If you're listening from outside the Milwaukee area, 103 in my car. And I mean, after I cooled it down, 103 fun loving degrees.
Man, and you were all dressed up. You
had I've been wearing
a shirt on, a tie, and
a wool suit since 5:30 this morning, my friend. Until now. Now I'm prepared properly to do a bar show with you at the Roman Coin, Terry.
Excellent.
The fine proprietor. Thank you, Terry, for allowing us to intrude upon an otherwise quiet Wednesday afternoon here in Milwaukee.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Terry. So we just basically bullied our way into a bar show, and we're going to have some fun today. And Dom, in fact, we're going to have some outstanding guests right here, starting with Jim First.
James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis, Saturdays 9 to 11 here on the Civic Media Network. He's coming around at 4:30, and a happy hour wouldn't be happier without Maggie Dawn joining us at 5.
Maggie Dawn, back to health. And, Dom, you would not believe this, but I've been roasting my chestnuts off all across the city of Milwaukee today. I got up early this morning. Why so early,
Michael?
Certainly not for the Republicans. But my pal Earl Ingram was doing a live broadcast, Service International, what's SEIU?
SEIU, yeah.
The Service International Union. And Earl broadcast live right here in Milwaukee. There are no studios. The Ridley funded studios here in Milwaukee, and we were there in their auditorium. And Earl started the day today, man. Jamie Harrison, DNC chairman. Not a bad start. And then he's got Mandela Barnes at the table, and then he interviewed some of the fine Fight for 15, although they're re-pegging their expectations now. Maybe more like $18 anymore.
Well, it takes so long. They didn't get to 15 in time. We got to raise it now.
And then a friend of ours, Christine Newman-Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera. Great way to start my day, checking in with a lot of friends, hanging out with my buddy Earl Ingram. If you haven't listened, try him out on WAUK, The Earl Ingram Show. And then I snuck over to the Whitetail Milwaukee. You know, Civic Media's got a all-day event, or they've been having an all-day event, and we've got out-of-town visitors. And this has been spearheaded by Kristen Bry of the As Goes Wisconsin program and Todd Alba, who I like to think of as a recovered Republican. And Todd's got some great Rolodex connections. He is invited, and in fact, I got to meet Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project today.
Yes.
Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project today. They're both doing a little Wisconsin media panel right now. I just came from there. In addition to the Lincoln Project guys, they got Bill McCoshin working the panel, and our buddy Joe Zepecki, Vegas Joe. Well, our guest is Brock Canoli's down. He's a popular man here. And also, thank you to all the fine people who sent cookies last night, especially Amanda the driver. I got to look up the other nice lady's name who sent the crumble cookies. And I had to go back into the office to get a speaker last night. So let's just say all the cookies are accounted for.
I didn't see any.
The Insomniac cookies. Well, I did share with the team. And my wife got like half a cookie. And I had a lot of cookies starting the day, starting the end of the day.
Well, Katie brought in some empanadas from La Masa, some dessert empanadas, so I think I'll get my fill later. Thank you.
And we're making new friends?
Yeah.
Old friends. Bringing new friends and empanadas. Dessert empanadas. So we're going to enjoy. We're going to fill ourselves. And we're going to have a good time with or without the Republicans, because Donald Trump ain't coming to your damn debate, Republicans.
Wait, say that again?
We are going to have a good time with or without the Republicans, because Donald Trump may or may not come to tonight's debate.
It's not over yet, but it doesn't seem like it. I may be right on this one. We'll wait and see.
We are missing? Just happened an hour ago, Don. Marjorie Taylor Greene in town doing a little press event.
Oh, really? Was she with the Moms for Liberty, or what are they calling them now? The minivan Taliban I've been seeing all over the social medias.
I believe that was actually Ron Johnson's event. I saw Craig Gilbertson. I'm not sure if he's still with the Journal Sentinel here in Milwaukee or not.
Oh, Gilbert, yeah.
But Gilbertson was part of the civic media panel discussion.
Okay.
A little private confab for the national media. Bloomberg was there, The Independent, a few others. You know, I was name-dropping the few I met because I had to give a quick speech on behalf of civic media. That's why I was wearing a suit. Wanted to look good for the out-of-towners.
And I see you have the famous, well-traveled, well-worn dump Trump poop emoji with the orange hair.
Well, that's
the
what
yellow hair.
Our audience would expect me to wear
yes.
To a Roman coin party leading up to what will be fine coverage again later in the evening on the civic media, Dom. The aforementioned Rick Wilson and Trick V. Olson, Bill McCoshin, Joseph Pecky, Charles Franklin, our pal, pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University, is going to be part of the special event broadcast on civic media. So it ain't just a party. It's insight. It's real radio. But we're doing the party part.
We'll take care of the party part. They can do the real radio part. People got to lean on their expertise, man.
Now, I did a little bit of work today outside of Hankin, helping out my buddy Earl and hanging out and saying, come on, man.
Come on, Earl.
And Earl, to his credit, helped me pack the gear.
Excellent. Thank you, Earl.
Not everyone in this corporation does that, Tom. But Earl helped me pack up after his little event. And then I was off to, after the Whitetail Milwaukee, Dom, I went to a DNC press conference at the View at the top of the Hyatt.
Oh, yeah.
18th floor ain't good enough for the DNC. We're going to the 19th floor, baby, the penthouse. And that is where I was over the lunch hour today, Dom. And we've got some sound we'd like to share it with the audience. Nate, can you help us out on this? I'd like to start with Madison Mayer. I guess we'll start out with Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler, DNC, or at least DPW Chair Ben Wickler, talking about the MAGA extremism, and it's coming to Milwaukee, folks. Play it for the people.
See, in the state where democracy is on the line, I am honored to join Chair Harrison and Congressman Richmond in the state that could determine the 2024 presidential election, and where the tail of the tape is crystal clear. In Wisconsin, MAGA extremism falls flat.
MAGA extremism falls flat, according to Ben Wickler. We'll see, Dom. Jamie Harrison, the national DNC chair, now we haven't had him on the big show, unlike Earl, since I believe the day he took that role. So we should ask more. DNC Chairman Jamie Harrison, his description of what's going to happen tonight, not so much a debate as a circus. Play cut 20 for the people, Nate, if you'd be so kind.
We've seen the 2024 MAGA Republican field crisscross the country. And they have been running a race, folks, a race to the bottom to secure this Republican nomination for president. And tonight in primetime, Americans will have an opportunity to see in action the most extreme, the most divisive, the most chaotic slate of presidential candidates in history when these MAGA 2024 Republicans take the debate stage here in Milwaukee. And I don't know if it's going to be a debate, but more like a circus.
Again, that was Jamie Harrison, the national DNC chairman. Not heard from, at least not sound we're going to bring you right now. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. And she was there, as a representative of females, at least the first one, the first elected female that was available to come on, go to the podium and speak on behalf of women and women's rights issues.
Or lack of rights.
And she talked about, you know, these Republicans like to claim they're the party of freedom, 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 right? Scott Walker and everybody else. They want freedom.
Yeah.
She said, what about freedom for women? What about control over our bodies? What about that kind of freedom?
Nope.
That's
none
the sort of
none of that for you.
Well, that's the sort of freedom she wanted to see. And then she went case by case, candidate by candidate. And every one of the Republican candidates going on the stage tonight, and of course that will exclude Trump probably, but every one of those candidates effectively, if I understood her math, is on the record being opposed to abortion, limiting abortion, and in some cases, limiting abortion with no exceptions for rape or incest. So that's your policy. You know, so these Republicans, are they going to talk policy? I mean, they're going on a Foxy News debate, right? I see Brett Baer and Martha McCollum's face slapped over the Pfizer forum
all
today.
Over. Downtown all is over filthy downtown. With Fox News.
All over downtown. But are they going to ask any meaningful questions? And are they going to frame it like that fine liberal on the outnumbered the other night? And he said, well, you know, the tyranny of the minority, talking about this Ramaswamy. Suddenly he's the belle of the ball. You know, this handsome young guy who's not Trump. Well, he said the tyranny of the minority, implying that's the left, that's the Democrats. Except on issue after issue, the Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history, no question about it.
And the most glaring issue, and Greg Gutfeld from that fine Foxy panel said, you know, what? What are you talking about, a majority of like 48%? Laughing at her, implying, you know, maybe a plurality, but never a majority. She said, no, like current polling, like 69% of people favor some form of access to abortion in a fair way up to the point of viability.
Will Fox News bring it up? I hope so. They certainly should, because of what are they going to do? The most chaotic slate of folks on the stage, as Harrison put it, they're just going to try to outright each other.
Well, and here in the state of Wisconsin, of course, we've got a gerrymandered legislative majority in Robin Voss and others, and they would tell you, you know, compromise to them is perhaps an exception for rape or incest.
Maybe.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. We are partying with some fine folks, steaming our chestnuts off here in Milwaukee. It is hot, but we're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to make fun of the Republicans, perhaps. You know, only if merited. Come back with us. We've got a fine guest joining us soon at the Roman Coin. He is James Santel, former.
The Devil's so Advocates. Sausage making never looked so hot. And hot and
we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us at 4:30. We can't take your calls today at the Roman Coin on Brady Street. You can join us down here, 1004 East Brady Street. Of course, on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I showed up looking like Clark Kent, and I make a quick change in the phone booth,
yeah.
And I'm super crudy. You know, there are all sorts of strange people. As mentioned, I have broken out of retirement. The Dump Trump t-shirt, Dom, I wore it to the band's nomination speech. I thought I could wear it again, you know, in honor of the first debate that he's making me the 37%. That means 63% of the time. Today, you're the right guy, and I'm the wrong guy. Because Trump is not coming to the debate. They're just going to, drop an interview right about debate time. Well, the interview is non-live, Trump. Now, if he's doing a live interview, he might actually steal some thunder.
He can't do live interviews, Michael. He will put himself in legal jeopardy.
So he can only do an interview and then redact
and
it?
Then edit and
is
tape
it going to look
it?
Like
yes.
The Mueller report? like you're going to hear every
third
word?
It'll be a bunch of quick edits. But I mean, how intriguing is it going to be? I mean, didn't. When the lawsuit against Fox News came out and during the discovery, didn't they find that Tucker Carlson literally hated Scott Walker? I know how that
everybody
could be.
Literally hates Scott Walker, doesn't everybody?
Donald Trump, he despises Donald Trump. But apparently they put all that aside to, try to stick it to Fox News.
They buried the hatchet, huh?
Yeah.
He's a useful tool. He's a vessel, just like Trump is a vessel for the evangelicals, fulfilling a godly duty for them.
Yeah.
Dom, there was something interesting. I saw a bunch of young MAGA Republicans, and they seemed very Trump supportive in that they were all wearing the red MAGA hat, you know, Make America Great Again.
Yep.
And I would guess about 20 of them, if you haven't seen, I put a little of the cover video up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. There are some modest advantages to following us there. But I put up this video of these guys walking down the block. Here they are. I'm showing it to Dom, just so you know. And they're just marching. And this guy's got the Ron DeSantis in the white boots.
In the high boots. I mean, they're up to his thighs. They're not.
Oh.
I mean, they've doctored it a little bit. Those boots weren't that high. But I get the point.
And then there was a woman that was wearing the Go Home Ron banner. And then this guy, one counter protester following them around. And Dom, I got to tell you, he was the life of the party. These young MAGA people, they were looking for a bar or something to escape this guy because he's walking around with a bullhorn, a pro-gay fund abortion banner. He was fabulous. I'm just telling you, this guy was having a hell of a time. It's 100 degrees outside. They're all sweltering in the heat. One guy's having a good time. The guy counter-protested the MAGA guys walking around like Oompa Loompas around the Pfizer Forum.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. But not a whole lot of protesters from what you saw then. I mean, granted it was hot.
When Scott Walker's thing going off?
The YAF parties, the
Young
man.
Adolfs?
Young America's founder.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you for
I know.
We modest always, correction.
We
I
always
get
that
wrong.
It's tough. It's tough. I have a bad memory myself.
I got to tell you, if they're out there, they're going to be like raisins in the sun. You know, they're going to cook themselves up. I had a walk from... I walked by Mater's. That was the first restaurant in Milwaukee I ever went out to.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
A girl I dated in college, dad took us there. So anyways, it's still there in Milwaukee. If you
It's a staple.
So I walked past Mater's, and I walked in a suit down to this DNC thing, and Terry Bell came with us, the news director, and we got on separate elevators, and somehow I beat Terry by like 15 minutes to the press conference. Like, I don't know if the other one stopped at every floor on the way up. But it was, you know, I got my steps in today.
You got your steps in today, and it's
hot.
So
empanadas for
there.
Lunch.
Yes. Oh,
I
wow,
got
nice.
Empanada dessert coming later. And we got the morning cannolis. Jim Santel brought the cannolis. Again, he is the host of Morning Cannolis, former U.S. attorney, friend of the Devil's Advocates. James Santel, he's at the Roma Coin. You could meet him if he came on down. A little live event, impromptu. Terry, thanks for letting us... inserting ourselves on a Wednesday evening schedule.
Allow ourselves to introduce ourselves. 844-967-2789. James Santel going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So, Cody, with all your adventures and walking around and being engaged and with Earl's show and doing the presser, what's the sense? What's your takeaway for the events down in downtown Milwaukee?
Well, here's what I would say. I'm gonna recount an event of a Republican guy in the lobby being approached by a shoeshine guy. So these Republicans, many of them are here. They're the donor class, if you will, right? That's why they're being invited to the FISERV. And there's only 4,000 or 5,000 people being given the exclusive.
Allowed in, yes.
There's probably a third of that many people just in press wandering around this town trying to find shade, something cold to drink, and something newsworthy to cover. Where was I going with this story, Dom?
Your sense was, your takeaway, what the environment is like.
I think everyone's
the scenery,
disappointed
the smell.
That Trump's not here. I think the press is walking around looking for shade. And I think that, you know, even the MAGA kids, they looked a little depressed. You know, maybe it was the guy with the blowhorn, but there was just no liveliness to them, Dom. I'm telling you, this show right here, this guy, that guy, her, we're having more fun than all the Republicans in this town put together because Donald Trump is destroying that party in real time. Rudy Giuliani surrendered. His mugshot's being released in real time. Trump is doing a live primetime event tomorrow, turning himself in for arrest tomorrow night, you know, just to steal some thunder. Just to get it to win the news cycle, Dom. When your guy's winning the news cycle by getting arrested for the fourth time this month.
Damn, Crudy, this is what he said.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Nobody has ever fought for election integrity like President Donald J. Trump. For doing so, I will proudly be arrested tomorrow afternoon in Georgia. God bless the United States of America.
God bless America. Of course, it's rigged and stolen, Dom. I saw that Rudy gave probably a ill-advised post-arrest press conference. Perhaps someone will bring us the transcripts or some sound. We'll bring you James Santel and more live Devils Advocates at the Roma Coin, sweltering hot Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live at the Roma Coin. Thank you, Terry, for letting us crash. Just kind of throw our own impromptu party here in honor of the GOP debate. And, you know, the guest of honor. Donald Trump's not showing up for that party, but we've got a fine guest joining us right now, live at the bar. He is the host of the Morning Cannolis. He is Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of the Devil's Advocates, and bearer of cannolis.
Bearer of cannolis.
I'm getting chubby just looking at those things.
Thank you.
Could not possibly show up without visiting right across the street and getting four cannolis for my great friends.
We're partying at the Roma Coin. It's like the old days down here on Brady Street, Jim.
And those are the fine cannolis.
These are the good ones.
Yes,
these are good ones.
Not
right?
The chocolate covered ones. Those are good, but these are.
Right. Those are the fraudulent ones. Yes. These are the real deal.
Oh, with the cherries.
Exactly. And there are more for later on, too. They're still there in the case over there. So lots of other opportunities to buy more cannolis yet tonight.
Great.
Well, you know, last time we had the Chinese joint next door, I gained like 8 pounds. So the cannolis is my diet choice. Jim, I saw the former president, former lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, got arrested in Georgia today and then did something of an impromptu press conference. Have you seen any of his comments?
I saw just a few of them, right? Not
what he say? Right, I missed
right?
it.
Well, it's just once again, I think the things that he says inside the courtroom and probably to his lawyers, very different what we're consuming publicly. But once again, denying any real involvement here. This is all taking a page from his former boss's volume there. Completely inappropriate and a miscarriage of justice.
And my understanding is Rudy Giuliani, because he's been getting stiffed by his former client, the former president, Donald Trump, is sort of in financial straits. And I was wondering, A, how did he raise his bond? Right. And B, Jim, is he perhaps eligible for a public defender, sir?
It could well be. You know, I have to submit an application to get a public federal defender to represent you. That could happen. And again, beyond that, the government could, in appropriate circumstances, if there's a question about whether his money is coming from, there is a process by which you can ask the court to look into that. So we don't know what
Counselor,
may happen down the road.
You don't have to dignify all my smart-ass statements with responses. Yeah.
We do appreciate it.
You answer them so earnestly.
We'll do some civics along the way, right? A small moment here is an opportunity to do some civics. So,
well, good. Jim, tomorrow is an opportunity to see the former president arrested for the fourth time in approximately a month. Jim, this one I think is going to sting a little worse than the rest. We already know what his bond is, $200,000. Our understanding, there was no financial responsibility on prior release arrangements.
There was not.
There's a mugshot coming, my understanding.
Some fingerprinting will happen, right?
And
all those kinds of things,
We've got an over-under going on the guy's weight.
273 and a half as of yesterday, but I don't know where the money's falling these
couple
days.
A couple of cannolis later, guys, over 300, I'm guessing.
Law enforcement in Georgia saying we're treating him like any other defendant.
They've been releasing these mugshots. Right, Rudy's mugshot is already circulating.
Rudy's
on the
is out. The Kraken lady is out.
Sydney Powell and
attorney. I forget her.
Jenna Ellis.
Yes, Ellis. She's smiley in hers.
John Eastman out there as well. Right, all of them showing up and then being processed as they should.
John
by the
Eastman
state authority.
Seemed a little sour. And Cheesebro.
Right. And Cheesebro as well. He did show up. He got off the island to come around and get processed.
And came in and do what he's supposed to do as well. That is a significant thing, right? That's the way it should work. And it does send that good message.
Yeah.
As much as we may be interested in seeing those pictures and talking about it, this is the way it should be. If the rule of law applies to everybody, then it applies to everybody. Frankly, I think the federal authorities, my former colleagues, probably gave the president some deference here. Some things that would not happen to other federal defendants here in Eastern Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, in other districts, because he is the former president, giving him some latitude. The authorities in Georgia plainly not going down that road, and good for them. That's the way it should be.
Jim, what about the chief, Mark Meadows? Mm-hmm. Now, sort of stayed out of the spotlight in the federal filings, but not so in Fulton County.
Right.
My understanding, the DA, Bonnie Willis, has made overtures, perhaps, that Mark Meadows is on a short list, perhaps, for a indictment. Unsealing, Jim, is that the impression you've gotten from the reporting?
Right. Could very well be. Plainly Mark Meadows, as we all saw along the way throughout the
investigation. The ringleader,
I'm hearing
him described.
Absolutely.
As.
He is the guy who plainly, not just on January 6th, but before, during, and after, he is having constant conversations, even more than Mike Pence. We always talk about how Mike Pence had these very compelling and very evidence-based discussions with the former president. Mark Meadows, chief of staff, right there talking with him while January 6th is happening, getting a sense of what his response is, trying to convince him again to go on video and call the troops off, so to speak, but plainly having a lot of discussions even before that about this scheme, again, put together by Eastman, Cheesman, others, and afterwards. What do we do afterwards as well? So he has got this core of information that Fani Willis is plainly focused on, and we can expect to hear more from Fani Willis about how his particular case goes ahead. Plainly, down the road, this will be broken up in some way. We've got 19 defendants, as we've talked before. This case is not going to go to trial with 19 defendants. We'll see who pleads out, who's cooperating, and that could also dictate where Mark Meadows falls in all this.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest, James Santel, host of the Morning Cannolis. He comes bearing cannolis to the Roman Coin. We're partying with the good people down here at the Roman Coin, Brady Street, Milwaukee. And you can join us. There's no admission. It's coolish. And, you know, the company is certainly coolish. But, Jim, let me ask you about the Cheese Bro, the co-conspirator, the indicted
Kenneth,
aforementioned, and guy with a lot of Wisconsin roots, and apparently perhaps the guy that originated this plan
Wisconsin
in
memorandum,
Wisconsin.
Right?
But sort of, what's the deal with him walking around on January 6th videotaping?
Right.
Was it Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, right. Almost in the elbow length of some of those other folks there who were plainly on the ground. No indication that he went into the Capitol itself. May have been in an area that was restricted. That itself could be the basis for some low-level federal charge. But the more significant thing is this is the connection between what we've talked about before, the suits and the boots, sometimes talked about. The suits, the people behind the scenes, all the folks we're talking about now, not only in Georgia but also in Washington, D.C., organizing this, the Eastmans, the Sidney Powells, the Rudy Giulianis, and the Donald Trumps, organizing this, compelling people to come to Washington. Up until now, the question has always been, okay, have you really got a connection between them and the people, those 1,000 people and more, who quite literally assaulted, rioted at the Capitol? Well, they will all say they were brought there by the president.
They were
You've got
tourists.
There, right?
They stayed inside the ropes,
right.
Or at least that's what Ron Johnson would have believed.
Right. And now you've got one of those suits who plainly is on the ground, again, not only bumping elbows with Alex Jones, but walking around, plainly participating in some supportive way there. On that day. That's the connection there. It's not just a physical, visual connection. It also suggests that, indeed, that was the purpose behind the suits, so to speak, the organizers. They wanted to get there. We don't know exactly what was in Cheeseman's mind at the time. Maybe he's there to see whether the fruits of their labor came to fruition.
I'd hate to ever correct you, Counselor. Yeah. It's not Cheese Man. It's Cheese bro.
Cheese bro, exactly.
Some right? say cheese bro, but right, we call him cheese bro.
Cheese bro, absolutely. Right?
Jim, the connection, and I think I did not know that cheese bro was walking around with Alex Jones until last week when this reporting came out.
Right.
And so certainly that seems to, you know, close one of those gaps of connection. Now, Crew reported, the Citizens for Responsible and Ethics, whatever, came out and said they have, through open records requests and Freedom of Information, connected the Secret Service with the Oath Keepers. Like, they were providing security prior to, and they have this relationship. Now, I had not heard that reporting yet either. If that's the case, and we do see it, not necessarily for this, but for trips for the president prior to go, like, North Carolina, provide security, those kinds of things.
Right.
If is it uncommon for, or common for, I don't know, extremist groups to be in communications with the Secret Service? I mean, is that another gap of knowledge that we don't quite know what's going on yet?
Right. I think that's it. We just don't know what to make of that yet. I saw that reporting as well. It is curious. It could be a number of different things. Secret Service obviously responsible for providing security for president, vice president, other cabinet members to ensure that if indeed they're present there, that they're secure. So it wouldn't be completely inappropriate for Secret Service agents in anticipation of a visit to a location, obviously to scope out the place, to figure out, you know, what the circumstances are, talk to people there. This is plainly different. Even though Donald Trump said, hey, I'm going to join you down the street,
yeah,
I'm going to be there, unlikely they were going there to figure out whether or not this was safe and secure. They plainly told him this is not. He did not do that. So the question is, again, what were they doing there? What was the nature of their work? Could have also been investigative somewhat. They plainly have a role to play in figuring out who is doing what. Their specific bailiwick is not so much this area, which is nationalist groups like this. That's the FBI. But they do have a federal connection there. I'm going to wait to see what this is all about and to see what the connection is. Unlikely they were there in some way to affirmatively support the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers. That's a bit of a stretch for
but
me.
But if there's a connection, if the guy who's, you know, just got
defined connection,
if he was who's the patch, you got arrested and charged for a seditious conspiracy,
right?
This is the guy talking with the Secret Service.
Right.
Well, the Secret Service, I mean, presumably they're talking to, what, the president? Doesn't that kind of give you, well, it's one step away,
else? Right, and again, if this was Enrique Tarrio, for example, Proud Boys, it was Stuart Rhodes.
Stuart Rhodes, specifically.
You know, and it would be good investigative work, candidly, for any federal agency, including the Secret Service, to be talking to these people. Again, not conspiring with them. You don't want that at all. That can't be happening. But to figure out what is the nature of their threat. Is this somebody we should be concerned about? Again, they've been out there for a long period of time. What is their role? What are they doing here? And again, when you've got a president,
well, they were providing security in other locations, you know, 6 months prior to the insurrection.
Absolutely, right? So the question is, what is your history? What have you done before? What are you doing that day? And it's all got to be focused upon information gathering to support your mission, which is security and safety for federal government officials like the president, others. We have yet to see exactly how that plays out. Another good reason for congressional investigations, plainly stopped now in the House of Representatives, but that kind of thing would be a good for oversight purposes.
Jim, we talked about the pressure on some of the less well-to-do, less connected, regular folks that are surrounding Donald Trump, his employees, staffers, and so forth. Reporting through a filing from the Department of Justice through Smith says they got someone to roll. They got a witness or accused number four. They're number four.
Exactly.
The IT guy. Trump's lawyers, got himself a federal defender, and all of a sudden retracted what he said and implicated De Oliveira, Trump, and Nauta.
All the activities there. How interesting is that, right? Again, goes to this issue of who's paying the bills and the reason for, again, the federal authorities from time to time, including Jack Smith, asking, where is your money coming from? How are these people being supported? What is the true nature of the representation you're giving? As we've talked before, every defense attorney has got the obligation to provide a vigorous and effective defense along the way. If that is not being done, then the government also has an obligation to bring that forward. Here we've got a situation where you change lawyers, federal defender sits down and says, listen, here I'm going to represent you. I'm not representing your present or former boss. And under these circumstances, this notion that you're lying, maybe committed perjury already in front of a grand jury, or even making statements to a federal officer, that's a crime. You got to come clean. You got to make a good showing going forward. And that plainly is what happened. It is not unusual in cases like this where you've got multiple defendants, multiple targets, multiple subjects even, for you to get out from under the sort of company of lawyers who are representing the top person and others and get them to a place where they can cooperate to their benefit, but also the benefit of the investigation.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. Still going to find guest. He is James Santel, bearer of cannolis for Gloriosos on Brady Street. We are partying at the Roman Coin on Brady Street, a little pre-debate soiree, and we're also pre-partying because over at Civic Media, they're doing the very serious work with Rick Wilson in a panel of stars. The punditry will be first class, I'm sure, and the punditry here, not half bad either, kind of like the cannolis. Come back with us. More with Jim Santel. And welcome, Brewers fans. Late winners, 8-7. They came back twice in that game. You come back. More Devils Advocates. We'll be right back.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Good, good, wonderful, good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live from the Roman Coin on Brady
Street. The people love you, Dom.
Absolutely.
And you, right, Jim right. Santel.
And we love the people.
It's only because I bring bakery. That's what the attractiveness
We're
is.
We're not sharing those.
No, I'm going to stuff my face with a cannoli at the top of the hour, Jim. It won't be pretty.
We're
so thankfully we're on the radio and not on television. Jim, thanks for coming down.
Delighted to be with you.
Sticking around. The Fulton County has to process lots of people yet,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so there's a big effort going on there. The deadline has been set for Friday.
It's coming Friday, right. Everybody's got to come in. 19 people, that's a lot.
Well,
that's
some
lot.
Folks apparently don't like really
they,
want to come
they don't
in.
Like,
they're very busy.
At least a couple of them are saying, hey, you've got to stop this from happening because I'm very busy, right? And the answer, once again, is no. You're the subject now of a criminal
Trump
indictment.
Showing up, who's busier than Trump
right,
thinks he is?
Right.
Mark Meadows, I believe, was one of them.
Maybe
it was Eastman. But there were some folks kind of saying the same thing. Oh, I can't go do this. This is wrong. And I believe it was Jeffrey Clark, former DOJ, also having a big problem following the law that he used to administer as a member of the Department of Justice.
Absolutely. Highest levels, especially concerning that somebody like that, again, all of his behavior is hugely concerning. And, yes, by the way, criminal along the way. Right. But the fact that this fellow doesn't even understand the basic process is very concerning. We have, for what it's worth, two other former U.S. attorneys in town right now. So trivia question, can you name them?
I can. Chris Christie.
And go to Western Arkansas.
Asa Hutchinson.
There you go, right?
I thought perhaps.
Right? And interesting that those two, again, are the biggest critics among this group, right?
Of Donald Trump, right?
And so, again, that notion that if you've got some justice in your blood, if you will, with a capital J and a small J, you get how this should work. Again, Jeffrey Clark knows better, as do the others.
Most of them don't even have Smaldy democracy in their DNA anymore,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the great, great challenge. And if you get somebody like Asa Hutchinson, again, I'm not advocating for his candidacy, but here's somebody who served as a U.S. attorney, served as the DEA chief, governor. He's the kind of guy, again, if the Republicans were wise, would look to him. He's coming in at about 1% right now, if that. He barely made the stage tonight. But you look to somebody like that and say, okay, here's the guy who's got the credentials to do this. Move toward him. But as you're saying, that's not where the Republicans are going tonight, not toward law and order, not toward decency, but toward something quite different.
Jim, the probability is the Republican Party will select Donald Trump to be their nominee.
As befuddling as I might find
that proposition.
Stunning. Yeah.
I think it makes him nearly unelectable in the general. I can't imagine. But I never imagined the first time, Jim, maybe I lack for imagination.
We stopped predicting long ago, right?
But let me ask you, our friend Mark from the SAC, and yes, many legal scholars are now of the opinion, because of his cooperation and effectively with those that would plot an insurrection against the United States government, he has effectively disqualified himself and should be omitted from the presidential ballot. Right. Now, I know there are a lot of liberals out there in the world, Jim, that want to see this guy go to jail, taken off the ballot, never serve again.
Right.
But that feels somewhat aspirational to me, much like the lawsuits against Ron Johnson and Madison Cawthorn and Marjorie Taylor Greene in All to What End, Sir?
Right. And so you've got the 14th Amendment out there, right, passed in the wake of the Civil War. It says, hey, we're going to throw an insurrection against the country, try to overthrow things. You're not entitled to serve in a capacity of trust, public trust out there. That's still the language. The challenge, which is what your question goes to, is, we don't normally enforce that particular provision of the 14th Amendment. We talk about due process, equal protection, those kinds of components there for the recently disenfranchised and freed slaves. That's a portion of it that, again, is often forgotten because we don't have to do these kinds of things. Hesitant to say this is unprecedented, but it comes pretty darn close. So the question,
well, we used to not have to consider
exactly
these,
right,
but now
right,
we're forced to consider
we
it.
Are forced to consider them and to look to language that arguably applies here, and that's what people are saying. That's the academics, and that's the people are practical out there saying, hey, our Constitution says if you've attempted to do this, and yes, indeed, now we've got allegations, at least in two different jurisdictions, a state jurisdiction, a federal jurisdiction, basically saying insurrection, you should not be able to hold public office.
Do you need the conviction, though? Like, you need more than just the accusation, because anybody can make an accusation.
Absolutely. And then that's the other part of this. Presumably, however this is enforced, if it goes to the Supreme Court at some point, you got to be able to look at a conviction somewhere where some trier of fact came to the conclusion that, yes, indeed, you did engage in insurrection. There's a little precedent out there. We talked about it on this fine show many, many months ago. Remember the magistrate judge or the judge way out west who found that some state representative was not qualified to serve in a state office. Why? Because he had been convicted. He's one of Mueller's 500, 600 people already convicted of federal offenses based upon his assaulting the Capitol on January 6th. So you've got a little precedent out there to do this, but presumably you'd have to have that conviction. It gets back to when these trials will happen and at what point will the judgments become final. That's going to be a long period of time.
Well, Jim, it's the GOP debate, not the fine warm weather here in Milwaukee that brings us to town this evening, but the former president Donald Trump will not be attending or participating and may not go to any of the debates, he claims. But Dom is speculating, and other legal scholars like Dom are speculating, how can the man possibly even do a live interview without incriminating himself or breaking terms of his bond, Jim? I mean, is this guy so hemmed in? Will he ever be able to debate? Because I got to think he's going to be dying if he misses this.
Right. Reckless is understating it, right? As we talked so many times before, his lawyers His lawyers have got to be melting down every time he speaks. We know that Jack Smith, as is Fannie Willis now, is also recording all these things. We will see these in these trials down the road when he is not only implicating himself, but confessing the very crimes with which he's been charged. And so it's a huge problem for him. He cannot help himself. His lawyers are plainly pulling out their hair. He's not following their advice, and yet it continues to happen.
Jim, four indictments, 91 charges. Now we know what we know.
Right.
What do you think is the one most likely to go fastest?
Right. Mike will be happy to hear this. I think that Judge Chutkan is true to her word. That, again, you've heard me say before, I'm still very, very doubtful. This is not going to happen in January when Jack Smith wants it to happen. She may try to push this before the election for obvious reasons.
That's the January 6th.
That's the January 6th, the federal indictment. There's a singular count, four counts against Donald Trump alone. That's the, again, very narrow but very compelling story. That's the big one. That's the big one. Even not to undermine the significance of the Georgia prosecution.
Well, there's lots of moving parts in there.
It's huge. Yeah. It's got all these players out there. Lots of different theories going on there, going to be broken up into many, many different trials. Jack Smith's trial, the January 6th trial, has the attractiveness of being sleek. And it is there. He can try that case. You don't have multiple defendants, multiple defense attorneys asking for more discovery and filing more motions. You will still get all of that. That's still got to happen between now and the time that there's a jury.
Well, Trump is looking for 2026.
Which is absurd. When does the judge
make that determination?
Right. She should do it fairly soon. It, again, as she gets a better sense of what probably having another pretrial conference sometime soon. The difficulty, once again, is she's got to build into that some time for there to be defense, even before trial. You've got to file motions to dismiss, motions to suppress, other things. That's still going to happen.
Our fine guest, Jim Santel, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure,
thank
gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim.
Bring in the cannolis. Come on down to Roman Coin. We are partying. The happier happy hour starts right now.